Well, sorry about that, Chip. Dong crimes, Chippo crimes. Sorry about being late, but you know, I had to do a little celebration, yeah? Mm-hmm. I have won for 10 years in a row the most secretive colleague in this entire building.
Congratulations.
Thank you, mate. I can't tell you how much it means to me. All right, let's go ahead and get on with today's case, which is...
This is the story of Amanda Knox and Meredith Kircher, two exchange students that went over to Italy, and it is an extremely controversial case. In fact, one of the most public murder cases of this century.
There are those who believe in my innocence, and there are those who believe in my guilt. There's no in between. And if I'm guilty, it means that I am the ultimate figure to fear.
Amanda was born in 1987, all right? And she first went over to Italy on a family holiday. You ever been to Italy on a family holiday?
I have not. I can't say I have.
I haven't either. But that was when she got her first taste of the Italian lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And my God, she loved it, mm-hmm. right? Not only that, but her parents actually got her a book, right? To those of you who are interested in what this book was called, it was called Under the Tuscan Sun. Wow.
The Tuscan Sun.
Look, she then went and studied in the University of Washington in 2007, and she made something called the Dean's List, which is, here, the academic award of the highest scholarship that you could possibly get. She got that. So she was a smart cookie.
Yes.
We are not dealing with...
She was a serious game player.
Yeah, we're not dealing with a bazinga here. We've got an upper echelon mind.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Just went for his neck. He's not even here. Poor bloke.
Sorry, Bez.
So at the age of 20, she went over to Perugia for its universities. And
Perugia! Was that good?
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I mean, I wouldn't know, but yeah. Anyway, and it had less, you know, it had less tourists than Florence. So obviously she wanted to feel...
She wanted that authentic Italian experience.
Maybe she wanted to be Italian. Who knows? But anyway, I've got a quote here as well. The city had reportedly not had a murder for 20 years. So pretty clean city. But its prosecutors had been responsible for Italy's most controversial murder cases.
Look, what we're trying to say, long story short, is the Italian police and the people there are a little bit sus. Mm-hmm. Right? That's putting it gently, right? But yeah, look, there's a lot of controversial stuff that goes over in Italy. And let's just say this particular case was no different.
So Amanda shared an apartment with Meredith, who was also a British exchange student, and two Italian trainee lawyers. So Amanda and Meredith, you know, they would go out for dinners, they both spoke English, they both gone there together, it makes sense. They moved into the apartment in early September of 2007. Now, Meredith's English friend stated that they actually saw very little of her, as she preferred to actually hang out with her Italian friends. Mm. So she weren't feeling English people.
Well, look, we know that she went over for that authentic Italian experience, and I suppose if you just hung around with English people in Italy, then it probably isn't
really
what you weren't
going
to get what you wanted out of your exchange trip.
So no, that's like going to Italy and only eating fish and chips.
That is exactly something you would do as well. Amanda and Meredith were both actually friends with their neighbors downstairs. Mm-hmm. One of those people going by the name of Giacomo Silense. Now, this is going to be an important part in this whole story because he also introduced them to a fella named Rudy Gide. Right? Now, I'm convinced that's not how you pronounce it, but we've just heard a bloke pronounce it like that. So, look, don't point the finger at us, right? Now, Rudy was a basketball player, so that's how they got to know him. And the four of them, they all knew each other. They became friendly.
Like a little group.
Now, Rudy was actually known to sort of stay over quite frequently at Giacomo's. He was never actually allowed up into the girls' apartment, but he did stay overnight in the basement quite a few times. Mm-hmm. Leading up to the murder on October 20th, it's important to get a bit of context around this and how the group sort of worked, right? Because Meredith became romantically involved with Silense.
Okay.
Okay, so that was on October 20th. Now on October 25th, Amanda and Meredith actually went to a concert together where Amanda meets a fella named Raphael.
Oh. I can already see it.
Is it Raphael or is that Raffaele?
I don't know, but either way, I'm picturing a very good-looking bloke.
Yeah. Now, Raffaele Solicito is a 23-year-old software engineer student. So again, we are talking about a group of intelligent people. Everyone here is, you know, they're smart cookies, right? Let's move on to November 1st, only a few days after Amanda had met Solicito, right? The Italians downstairs were away. Was that their neighbors? They had vacated briefly, right? And Meredith was believed to have returned home around 9 p.m. And she was alone in the whole building.
Okay, that's not... It's a recipe for disaster, that.
Well, it's certainly the start of a disaster.
Yeah.
Because on November the 2nd, Amanda calls Meredith's phone and gets no replies.
It's not ideal.
It's not looking good. Amanda got worried and decided to call one of the other trainee lawyers that she was staying with and ask her, "Have you seen Meredith? Have you heard anything from Meredith?" And they haven't. Amanda did say that she noticed the front door was open. There were blood stains and a footprint in the bathroom. Now, I'm sorry, right there, that's all the red flags going off, okay? Mm-hmm. Not only that, but Meredith's door was obviously completely locked at this time. Now, Amanda and Solicito, okay, then went to the house and unsuccessfully tried to break into a room. Now, at the time, you probably think it's locked. Are you breaking in to this room at this time?
If I see that, I feel like...
The door being open... Blood stains.
Yeah, I mean,
and footprints in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I think. Yes. I'm willing to risk busting that door open.
I'll pay for the door.
Yeah.
You know.
As long as I know you're safe.
Mm-hmm. Fella's card. Well, not my card.
Yes. Now, Chip. Guess what? The fellas and Felitas over at Noom have been in contact. Now, you're probably wondering, what in the world is Noom all about? Well, Chip, let me tell you, fella.
Tell me right now.
Okay? It is a psychology-based approach to dieting, right? So instead of you just being like, right, I'm cutting this, and this out. Well, no. Let's change the way your relationship works with food. And that is such an important thing to do because, look, you can cut all this stuff out, but let's say in a month's time, it just goes back to being rubbish. You actually haven't taught yourself how to have a healthy relationship with food. And that's where Noom comes in, right? Let's talk a little bit about the science behind Noom, right? More than 80% of its users complete the entire program, right? More than 60% of users lose 5% or more of body weight, and 60% of them keep the weight off for a year or more, because that's the big thing.
Those are good numbers.
What's the point in losing weight if you're just going to put it back on next month?
Exactly.
Right? We need something that is actually going to work over a long period of time. All right. Noom has published over 25 peer-reviewed scientific journal articles, right, about the science that goes on in their approach to helping people achieve a healthier way of life. That's the whole point that I'm saying. What's the point? They can come out with all the wassa-wassa they want, but unless I'm seeing actual scientific proof, I'm not interested.
Absolutely.
And that's what they've done, right? Now, of course, guys, look, me and Chip, we're both on our health grind.
Absolutely.
And it is super important that you figure out what works best for you, and that's what Noom is here to do. Did that rhyme?
I don't know.
But anyways, guys, if this is of any interest, then make sure you go ahead and you sign up for your trial at noom.com/fellasmysteries. Lose this weight for good, guys, at noom.com/fellasmysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say we ain't here to make your 2022 better. At 12:47, so just after midday now, she called her mother and was told to contact the police. Now, 4 minutes later, at 12:51, Solicito goes ahead and calls the police and told them the emergency was that Meredith's door was locked and there were bloodstains. As you would, right?
Mm-hmm.
The police come around and they don't actually open the door. And weirdly enough, this is because they said they didn't think the circumstances warranted damaging private property. Now, we've just spoken about this, right? The bloodstains on, you know, that were around. We got footprints. The door was open. Bust the door down.
I know. What, they're just looking at the bloodstains being like, eh.
It's all right. Like, the door, we tried to call her. She's
ketchup.
Not picking up. How is the door locked? Good news. The door does get kicked down, but it took a friend of one of the flatmates to just come around, not having it, kicks the door down, and there we find the body of Meredith on the floor, stabbed, and she had died from blood loss from her neck wounds.
Not ideal.
That is worst case scenario.
Now, from the get-go, Amanda maintains that the lead investigator on the case, Napoleone...
That is a very Italian last name.
Yep, she is a lady, and she was hostile to her. Okay, so not very nice straight away. Maybe it's because she's American.
True.
Who knows? Anyway, they didn't provide legal counsel to her for a start, which is, that don't make any sense, really. You have to do that. And on November 5th, Amanda voluntarily went to the police station herself. Following that, they then arrested Amanda Solicito and a man that we haven't spoke about yet, Patrick Lumumba.
Okay, and tell me, who is Patrick
Lumumba? Now, he is actually Amanda's boss at the place that she was planning on quitting her job because apparently he had not paid her. So, straight off the bat, could be a dodgy guy.
Yeah.
All
right, okay, so he's been arrested, but then...
The charges...
They just dropped it.
The other two were still arrested, but the charges against the boss, Patrick, were dropped.
So Solicito and Amanda still remain in custody, and they're like a little... they were a couple at the time. So is it one of those, like, where is it like a Bonnie and Clyde, like...
Yeah, like what's going on there? Now, Amanda told the police on November 1st that Lumumba, her boss, had texted her and told her that a shift was cancelled, don't come in work today. And she stayed at Solicito's apartment.
Now, look, I don't want to say guilty or not guilty at the moment, right? But I think it is either very unfortunate that she sort of... that shift was cancelled because that would have obviously been a really good alibi for her.
Yeah, like I'm at work.
Obviously, I didn't do this because I was at work. But now she's saying that she was just staying around her boyfriend's house, and that obviously is not going to hold up nearly as well.
It was a little bit of a coincidence there. Yeah. Like, oh, your shift was cancelled.
But that's what she's saying there is my shift was cancelled, and did it get cancelled because the manager wanted to go and.
Dispose of the body or something like that.
Kill her, whatever.
Well, anyway, after she stayed the night at Solicito's apartment, and the next time she went back to her apartment, that's when she found Meredith's body.
That's when she claims to have first seen the body.
Yes, that's her story. Anyway, the police did not believe this story, accept it at all, and they tried to manipulate her.
Okay, talk to me. What was done to make her change her story?
Well, the interpreter has told her off the bat that she probably didn't remember properly because she was traumatized.
So what? She tells her story and they go, you haven't remembered that correctly.
Yeah, and that she should try and remember something else.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I mean...
So they're just straight up, nah, we're not really feeling that one, Chief. Give us a different story, please.
Yeah, and also the female police officer apparently also slapped her a few times. So, which is a bit odd, but I mean, did these police officers really not like Amanda?
Obviously, the police surely denied that, though, right?
Because they
can't come out and be like, yeah, we slapped her around the head. But Amanda is certain that that is what happened.
Yes, she also wasn't allowed access to food, water, or a lawyer. Yeah. But like you spoke about earlier when we were saying Italian police are known to be a little bit sketchy and corrupt, is this just another case of that where they're really like, fuck this American girl?
Yeah, we're just going to string her up for it because that way it doesn't make Italy or Italians look bad. It looks like there's been a foreign student that's come over and we don't have to make Italy look bad. Because this is obviously, at this point, there's a lot of media behind this. This isn't just, if it was an Italian person, maybe the media wouldn't have actually been so attached. But because it was an American foreign exchange student coming over, it's exploded. And by the way, this case, I remember it, was everywhere in the news. Everyone was talking about it. I mean, it was massive.
Yes, now under the manipulation and pressure that we just spoke about, Amanda then made a false statement that she was home the night that Meredith was killed and that the murderer was Patrick Lumumba, her boss. Now, we do know this is false because Patrick, her boss, actually had his alibi verified by the customers that he was serving drinks to on the night of the murder. So Patrick was working, the customers have verified it, they said he was there, so it couldn't have been Patrick.
Right. And earlier I did say maybe Patrick was going off there and doing it himself because he cancelled the shift, but it turns out it was just Amanda's shift that was cancelled and he was obviously
still working. So we can rule the boss out at this point.
Now, there was... A bit of evidence, shall we say. There was blood stains found on the bedding under Meredith's body, which actually belonged to Rudy, the basketball player.
So the bloodstains, you know, they've matched it up to him.
Yeah.
That's not looking good for him.
Another thing that doesn't look good for him at all here is the fact that immediately after, he fled to Germany, right? But obviously, Italy, the Italians spoke to the Germans and they extradited him back to Italy for this case. Shortly after that, Rudy, Amanda, and Solicito were charged with committing the murder together. That is huge. And especially, right, so Rudy, they've obviously got the blood stains, so you can say, okay, I can see why they've been charged. Amanda and Solicito, it almost, like, why was she charged with it? Like, yeah. I get that she was acting a little bit strange, but she had her alibi. They couldn't really sort of verify or disprove it.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they actually charging her on? And that was a massive thing, is the Americans were like, yo, this is mad sus, and we think this is anti-American.
Ooh.
Right? I don't get why they charged her, but they obviously had a really strong feeling towards Amanda. And you can see, actually, in video footage, she does seem to be handling the thing kind of weird. Like, when you're watching her face and her like, body language, it is definitely weird. But then again, I would also say that I've never been in that position, mm-hmm. so I have no idea how I would react to it.
And you can't just charge someone on how they're reacting to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe they just...
That's just the way they deal with it.
Yeah.
Rudy, who so far seems to be at least the main suspect in this whole thing, his story kept changing,
mm-hmm.
right? At first, he didn't even mention Amanda or Solicito in his story, but he changed that. He decided, no, I'm going to implicate them, sorry. And so he dragged both of them in. Initially, he said they weren't even in the building. And now he's saying that they helped out.
Very dodgy geezer. Changing the story, that's...
We don't like that,
it's quite a sign.
Rudy wasn't even questioned about his changed statements either, right? Which is kind of weird.
Very odd.
Yeah, I mean, surely you would question them. You would, dig a little deeper,
why did you change your statement? Yeah. Like, why did you say they weren't there or were there? Like, mm-hmm. you're mixing things up.
He was convicted of murder, but specifically wasn't said to have had a knife or stabbed Meredith. So explain that to me then. He's been convicted of the murder, but he didn't have the knife and he didn't stab her.
But she died from the stab wounds in the neck.
Yeah, so there is still quite a lot of this case still to be figured out, but they've charged him with murder. And that meant the judge was then led to believe that he must have had an accomplice. And who did they believe to be the accomplice? Amanda Knox.
October 2008, Rudy was found guilty of sexual assault and the murder of Meredith, and he was sentenced to 30 years of imprisonment, quite some time. But his sentence was actually reduced to 16 years, and he did get out on early release in December 2020, and then he had to finish off his sentence with community service. So as it stands, I mean...
He's out.
He's free.
December 5th, 2009, Amanda was 22 years old and convicted of charges of breaking in, defamation, sexual violence, and murder, and was sentenced to 26 years. Her boyfriend at the time, Solicito, was given 25 years. So, like, these are some big numbers, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in Italy, it was seen as a pretty straightforward, simple, fair trial. But like I said, guys, the US were not happy about this at all. They said it was a miscarriage of justice, and a journalist who goes by the name Nina Burley said that there was no solid proof and it was anti-American. Like okay. I said, they were the US's view on this was that they picked Amanda to make America look bad, mm-hmm. right? Which is interesting, but we've spoken about the Italian government and the police force there. It's not as straight edge as you might assume, mm-hmm. okay? A consultant who goes by the name Gregory Hampikian said that the Italian forensic police could not replicate a key result, which they actually said that they were able to replicate. So a consultant was like, how have you guys managed to replicate that? It's just not possible.
So they falsely claimed that they replicated it?
Well, that's the thing.
Because to try and get the convictions?
Well, that's the thing. This is such a big case at this point. The media attention is so high. It would look bad on Italy for not being able to find or get a conviction out of this case. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a consultant's come in and said, something fishy is going on here.
Amanda was indicted in 2010 on charges of defamation because she had claimed in one of her interviews that the police had struck her around the head. Obviously, the police are complaining that, you know...
That didn't happen. We didn't do that.
That's a complete lie. Because,
again, that's a bad look. Well, there's so many cameras absolutely. And people talking about this case. That is a terrible look for the Italian police.
The appeal, anyway, began on November 2010, and experts had noticed that numerous basic errors of evidence and analysis. I've actually got a quote here as well. The review found the forensic police examination showed evidence of multiple males' DNA fragments on the bra clasp, which had been lost on the floor for 47 days. The court-appointed expert testified the context strongly suggested contamination.
Yeah, I mean, look, 47 days it's been around there. They claim, right, that what could have been one of the things is, you know, investigators are going with the latex glove. Because remember, they were at first trying to open that door to get mm-hmm. into her room, right? So obviously that's loads of fingerprints, of the guy's fingerprints on it from there. But what they're saying could have happened was that when investigators go, they're touching it and they're potentially touching the handle and then touching the bra clasp, transferring the DNA across to
it.
Yeah,
so it's...
So the chances of contamination in this particular case was really high, and they felt as though it wasn't fair to use that bra clasp DNA in this particular case.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been lying around for 47 days.
I know, like, so much in so many different ways that DNA could have been transferred onto that.
Mm-hmm. October 3rd, 2011, Amanda Knox and Solicito were found not guilty.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is big.
Bit now, of a turn.
Look, a lot of people are actually pretty split on this, like 50-50, because there were a few things that made people think, like, Amanda Knox, like, she was, because of her behavior around it, you know, she was even said to have done cartwheels when she was being, like, interrogated and things like that. But, and another thing as well was that supposedly the day after this has happened is that she was found buying underwear and things like that. But all of that was all being said, but no context was given. So the reason why she was buying underwear was because all of her clothes were still in the house, which is now a crime scene. She can't go in and get her clothes.
Yeah.
So obviously she would go out and go
I would say that is fair. If you can't access any of your clothes, what you can do? You can't just wear the same clothes every single day. That makes sense.
But if you take that out of context, it makes her seem like, wait, so she just didn't care about the whole thing, what, she's going out shopping the next day? Yeah, that's really suspicious.
But do we have any context for the cartwheel? Because
we do have context for the cartwheel.
I really need to know this.
Yeah, well, the context is that she was supposedly asked by investigators, because she was, like, stretching or whatever, and she told the investigator that she did yoga. The investigator then goes, oh, well, show me what else you can do. Sounds a little bit weird, I'm not going to lie. But,
yeah.
And then she goes ahead and performs a cartwheel. And so they've obviously just taken, not just a cartwheel, but the splits as well, right? And so that you take that out of context and you said someone's doing the splits and the cartwheel in an interrogation room,
then
you're
going to
think
weird.
They sound like a lunatic.
Yeah.
But if you put in the part where they say, oh, I'd like to see more of what you can do,
then it makes a lot more sense. March 2013, Italian's highest court actually were not happy with that not guilty verdict, and they decided to actually scrap it and do a retrial.
Right, okay. Yeah. So wait, why was that?
There was certain evidence that they weren't happy with, circumstantial evidence, such as when Amanda accused her boss that he was the murderer, they didn't really look into it too much. Like, why did she accuse him, you know?
They weren't happy with the quality of that trial.
Yep.
Could you imagine being Amanda and Solicito, right? You've been found not guilty, mm-hmm. and then the Italian highest court comes out and goes, actually, we want to redo this. We want to re-up on this
that
one.
That would
you
be
know
great.
How
you've just been found,
you
just
be.
You just sat there, you're celebrating not guilty. You know what, actually, in fact,
let's
redo this one. But anyway, when the retrial was ordered, Amanda was actually in the US, so she was represented in Italy.
Oh, so she wasn't even present?
She wasn't even present.
I don't know if that's
probably
a good
at home
thing
with
or
the family.
A bad thing.
I feel like you need to be there, because if you're just represented by someone, they just start butchering it.
But I think also, at the same time, she was probably so fed up with all, like, she'd been through, that was the second trial where she was found not guilty, and now they're wanting to do a third. Like, at what point do you say, guys, I'm not spending my whole life defending myself in court? And that's probably what
her, she's her being there could have actually worked against her, you know, her body language, everything about it could have looked bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, she would have been advised by some of the best lawyers in the world. No, I don't think you and me picking out on this was going to make a difference.
Well, anyway, January 30th, 2014.
What happened?
Amanda and Solicito were found guilty.
Bro, you are pissed right now. This is so long and drawn out. Like, it's just not a good look for anyone here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me what happened.
Well, the judge emphasized that there was initially no burglary at all and that it was all staged. But they did fail to consider that Rudy, you know, the man who was jailed for 30 years, could have staged it himself.
So the judges looked at it and gone, right, well, there's a robbery here as well. So that must have included other people.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not just like a one-man job.
Yep.
But you're telling me that nobody's pointed out the fact that Rudy could have set this up to make it look like that exact scenario.
Yeah, so the judge had emphasized that it was staged, but by them, all of them, I guess, instead of just being by Rudy himself. They thought, this was a three-man job, four-man job, whatever. You guys did this together.
This is a mess. Well, Chip, it's March 2015 now, and the last we heard was that they were found guilty. Well, the ultimate appeal ruled that the case was without foundation and therefore acquitting them. We've gone back to the not guilty verdict here. Okay?
It's like a yo-yo.
But could you just imagine being Amanda and Solicito, though? Like, this is your life for the last 6-7 years.
These are some years you definitely want to forget.
Absolutely. Now, Amanda's defamation conviction was actually upheld, but the 3-year sentence was deemed served by the time that she'd already spent in prison, right? So remember that defamation case about her getting slapped by the police?
Yep.
They said, look, we're going to say not guilty for the other stuff, but we still think you chatted shit about getting slapped by the police, right? She didn't have to do any more time because she already served it, but yeah, they did uphold that one.
Early January 2019, the European Court of Human Rights ordered Italy to actually pay Amanda compensation for violating her rights when she was arrested in Perugia.
Okay.
They actually had to pay €18,400 for not providing her with either a lawyer or a competent interpreter.
I'm sorry, but €18,400 for 7 years or...
A lot of years
of just nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine, like, if they... I'm expecting, like, mills.
Yeah, because if she had the lawyer or the competent interpreter the first place, she might have just been good to go, left the police station, carried on with her life. She would have been upset that there was a murder, but... You know,
it would have been drawn out like
wouldn't
this.
Wouldn't be like this.
Just to give you guys the latest and greatest news, Amanda actually came out with a book herself. She's actually been on a podcast, a Joe Rogan one, I believe, as well. She has her own podcast called Truth About True Crime. And she actually had, just a few months ago, gave birth to a daughter, which is pretty cool. But look, she came out with this book. She obviously, her legal fees would have been astronomical. So she's used the profits from that book to pay that off.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, look, a lot of people are actually split quite 50-50 on whether she did it or not. And a lot of it was mainly just down to the way she behaved and the way she acted. And I felt like there just wasn't a lot of context for it. We spoke about that. But I mean, when I watched the documentary on it, I was actually a lot more 50-50. But then when you just look at the pure evidence and like the actual facts, it would be really hard to convict someone like this of doing it. But I don't know. I thought when we put it out the way we did today, like, you can't really.
I would agree. I mean, the case that's presented in front of me, I feel like.
What you give him? What's your verdict? What's Don Crime's verdict for this case?
Well, from what I've got in front of me, doesn't sound too much like she's guilty. I mean, when you give context to the weird behavior and stuff, then it makes a lot of sense. Like, there you go. Let us know,
guys, down below. What do you think? Did Amanda Knox do this? Yes or no? Be sure to check out as well documentaries and things like that because it is actually a really interesting case.
Yes.
And it's quite important to actually see the footage as well. So, anyways, from the fellas, from the team at the Fellas Mysteries, we will see you guys on the next episode.